In the absence of our chairman, the vice chairman has started the meeting.
Should we lock the doors?
You know, may I remind everybody sitting at the dais that the microphones are on and to speak into the microphones. Mr. Executive Officer, are there any additions or reorders of the minutes?
No. Of the agenda.
No. Of the agenda, I'm sorry. We have in front of us the consent calendar, minutes of the previous meeting, the financial reports, and the water transactions. These will be approved singular or all together unless somebody wants to pull one. Do I have any need to remove A, B, or C from the agenda?
Can I ask a question on C without removing it?
Absolutely.
There's an awful lot of water being transferred from San Antonio to Upland and Buena Vista. Why? Do they have gobs of water or something?
Mr. Chair, the first is actually that's 2.3 acre feet, not 2,000 acre feet. So it's not very much, and they own Saco shares.
Oh.
So to exercise their shares, they're transferring the water.
Oh, I see.
The 500 acre feet is just a lease purchase like you see quite often for production.
Okay, then they're entitled to that water because they own it.
Yes.
And we shouldn't really have to approve it, should we? They can take it whenever they feel like it?
We have to approve the lease transfer.
Okay.
But they have share rights to do that.
Okay.
So this is just a formal approval of a transaction.
Okay.
I move to approve the consent calendar in its entirety.
Okay, we have somebody to move it and a second. We will take a vote. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Business items. A, material physical injury analysis.
A couple of months ago, we saw one of these come through for all the historic storage requests. There was a number of agencies that had done that. We also saw them for Upland and San Antonio Water Company. Subsequent to that, the City of Ontario filed a local storage agreement. So we had the material physical injury analysis done in a similar manner. Andy's here if you have questions on it, but it showed no potential impact. We're not taking action on the storage agreement itself. We didn't on any of the others. There's a lot of issues to discuss. At the appropriative pool, they gave us direction now to start a process with a workshop in a group to start outlining and discussing the storage issues, much like we're doing with the recharge issues. So this is just the material physical injury analysis. It's on basically on the recycled water they get through IUA. There's been a full environmental process on that.
Okay, so this is a recommendation from staff to receive and file the report. Do I hear a motion?
Move to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item B, Water Master Annual Audit, Fiscal Year 2010/2011. And let me introduce our chairman, Mr. Robert Feenstra.
Colcha, thank you for your help.
Mr. Chair, on this item, this did go to the board at the last meeting. The auditor is retained by the board and reports their findings to the board, and the board receives the findings. Then what we've determined to do is bring it back to all the pools so you can see the findings of the external auditor. This was a new company we used this past year. They found no exceptions to our audit report, so that's a clean audit. It means we did a good job on our financial accounting and review. If you have specific questions, Joe is here and can answer them, but otherwise it's a receive and file item.
Members of the board, Joe informed me all we have to do is say yes to everything, and this will go smoothly. However, we did talk about a number of things, and Joe, do you see any major changes in the coming year in the ag pool budget?
In the ag pool budget, no.
Do any board members want to bring up any concerns or items where you feel that Joe really needs to pencil in another 100 or 200,000 into the ag pool?
This is an approval of the audit report.
This is the audit.
This is the audit,
not the future.
Yes, but we're going to be considering a new budget. Is that correct?
Very soon, in the near few weeks. Okay.
So what I'm really saying to you, Rob, is that you need to start thinking.
Okay.
All members of the board, as to how we will proceed with the coming year budget. Any questions on the statement made by our manager regarding the audit? I congratulated Joe that he won't be arrested or anything like that. That everything is in good order.
I'll move to receive and file.
I'll second.
Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Thank you, Joe. We don't have to do anything more with the budget, do we, Ken?
No, sir.
I mean with the annual audit.
With the annual audit, you do not. With the budget, you do have a request from Joe. If there's information items, please get them to Joe. Email is fine.
Very good. Supplemental order for resolution 210-04.
This is the item regarding the CDA resolutions, and this pool in particular requested some clarification regarding the retention of rights by private well owners. This resolution and attached order achieves that. It's been worked by both attorneys. It'll be filed with the next time we go to court, which right now is scheduled for in June. There'll be several items that we'll consolidate together for efficiency. What we need is the approval on the resolution and supplemental order so that we can move forward and file it.
What's the pleasure of the board?
Is it the opinion of our attorney, Tracy, that that this is acceptable to what we're trying to do to protect private well owners' rights?
Yes, I reviewed it and worked with the previous counsel, Michael Fife, and also the counsel for the Desalter Authority.
Okay. I move to approve.
Second that.
Any questions or comments?
Can I make a comment, please?
Please.
There's some language in here that has been changed to avoid a problem that Tracy and I had noted the last time around, which was having the court make an affirmative statement about how nobody had objected when Watermaster was not prepared to actually canvass to determine if that was the case. I'll note that I think that the change here addresses that issue somewhat so that the court is no longer making an inaccurate statement. I don't love it. By saying it does not appear that any party objects to the court adopting this order, it suggests that people had the opportunity to. I'm not going to vote against this, but I do want to note that, I have continuing problems with us making statements to the court as if everything has been fully vetted, when I think that we continue to suffer from problems with people knowing what's on the agenda and what's being discussed. I don't think this should impede the court's ability to do this, and I do think it's in the interest of the members of the pool that they have these protections that we've requested. Again, I don't like putting words in the court's mouth that we don't know are true.
Good point. Any other comment? Hearing none, I'll call for the question. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. You may have the same question on item D. Anyway, Ken, proposed cash reserve policy.
Item D, there has been discussion over the past months on how much cash Watermaster should hold and for what purposes. And we were requested by all three pools, the advisory committee and board, to conduct a meeting workshop to get input and make a proposal. We did that. We got input. What's before you is the results of that meeting and input defining the amounts and types of cash It will actually result in Water Master holding a bit less cash from some of the agencies. We've determined instead of keeping a 30% of the annual budget for administration and for OBMP on hand, we actually need 10% for administration and 15% for OBMP. The previous two pools agreed with that unanimously. The previous two pools both determined to remove Section 4.17.9, which is preemptive replenishment water purchases. Currently, Watermaster does not have a reserve fund for that, and those pools did not want to address that at this time. They said if there's a need again for preemptive replenishment, they want to talk about it on a case-by-case, party-by-party basis based on whatever party wants to purchase water in advance. So they asked that we pull that out. We pulled that out from the other two pools. I would recommend that you pull that item 4.17.9 out of the item you approve and would recommend the remainder of the carryovers. It also includes at the end of the year any cash in excess of this policy gets returned through the regular assessment process back to the parties that paid in the prior year. So it keeps the cash on hand that we need on hand for the purposes we need, and not more than that. It returns it back to the parties that collected it from their ratepayers.
Joe.
Yes, sir.
In an earlier conversation by phone, we know that we are going through some settlement negotiations as a water master, and it came to mind that of course we can't anticipate what those settlements might be. However, there may not be sufficient cash on hand if a settlement is reached and it cannot be covered by our current cash reserve. So I talked to Joe about that, and I'm sure that that would have to go then to a special assessment.
It would have to be collected in a special assessment. And Watermaster has done special assessments mm-hmm. from time to time. In fact, they did a special assessment for each of the different parties in that case to fund their legal affairs. So there certainly, if there was a huge monetary settlement of that type, it would have to be a special assessment to recover the funds to pay for them. But that's not an item that anybody in the workshop wanted to establish a reserve and have Watermaster hold the money for. They would rather hold it until there was a special assessment call.
Jeff.
Mr. Chairman, and the special assessment would go through the normal pool process of approval, advisory, and to the board?
Typically.
Okay, so the concept is anything that comes up that is abnormal from the budget that requires a special assessment then will be thoroughly vetted and would take upwards to a month at the minimum to be able to fund if necessary.
That is correct.
Joe, why don't you explain a little bit better like you did with me? He knows that I need to really, you know, focus on what he was saying, because I said if you had a couple million dollars in the bank, what would you do? And so why don't you just for fun throw that at Mr. Jeske and go ahead and say what you said.
For our conversation earlier this afternoon, we maintain a reserve of 30% of administrative and 30% for OBMP. Yes, sure. So we have about $300,000 for our administrative reserve and about $1.5 million for OBMP. You put those two together, so we have basically about $1.8 million of reserve. If a settlement were to be less than that $1.8 million, I could certainly see where we could use that money to fund a settlement out of the reserve. If it was more than the 1.8, we would have to do a special assessment because we don't maintain large enough reserves to cover something like that.
Question on the special assessment versus what you have in the reserve. Is the reserve account then diminished over the course of the fiscal year as needed, and it's never replenished to maintain the percentages?
No, it's It is established when we do our budget, and throughout the year, if we need to pull down reserves, we would have to bring that, obviously, to the pools, because the reserve is something excluding our regular budget. So, for example, if we needed to spend $500,000 and it wasn't in the budget, we do have the cash reserves that we can pull from, but we would still have to come through the pool process, the advisory, and the board.
And to authorize it. We would need appropriation and authorization to move money from reserves into a spending category. Then the following
part of the approved budget. Right,
then the following year, when we establish the budget, we establish it back up to the reserve level, and that goes into the assessment process.
Okay.
This year, Joe's right, we have the 30%, 30%, $1.8 million. Next year with this policy, we'll have 10% and 15%. So it'll be a little bit less reserve amount that we would be holding of other agencies' dollars. So there, if you had a need for more money than that, you'd have to go to a special assessment maybe more frequently. But that's what the parties wanted over the course of the last couple of years as we've looked at reserve and we've looked at policies.
I apologize, Jeff. I was chatting with Tracy. In talking with the others, as we refer to them, does everybody seem to be in agreement that if a settlement is reached, they're all going to come to the table?
Well, there was no specific talk on a settlement of this particular case. That's been handled outside of the discussions on reserve policies, where we're dealing with reserves for general administration and for OBMP activities. There's not a reserve, and there was no discussion on establishing a reserve for lawsuits, let alone if there was a settlement, how it would be funded and how the settlement would be paid and from which parties to which parties and which funds. That, I would assume that would all be part of the settlement negotiations.
Ken, I bring you best wishes and good comments from Dan McKinney. I think you remember who he is.
Oh, thank you. I sure do.
And he congratulated us on your position of leadership with this board, and he meant it sincerely. My question of him was, have we ever realized a settlement of this potential magnitude that he can remember? And he couldn't, but he said that's a good question to ask of Ken Jeske.
I can't think of one either.
I have a question, Ken.
Yes.
We don't have an insurance policy to cover this?
No, sir.
Oh.
Yes, please.
Yeah, as a member of the board, I'm very uncomfortable with a conversation about this whole settlement issue. I don't think anybody who knows can say anything, because everything is confidential. And it's really not relative, I don't think, to the reserve cash policy. I with all due respect to everybody, don't want to injure anybody's position in that, including ours at the edge. We could just deal with a cat. I don't think they're related.
Any questions or comments?
I agree with Jeff on that point, and my original question was, is it the policy of Watermaster to replenish the reserve account on an ongoing basis? And by the discussion, it would take a special assessment if you were going to replenish the reserve account if monies were spent from it.
It would take a special assessment only if the extraordinary expenses exceeded what we had in the reserves any year. At the end of the year, when we go into the next year's assessment, we automatically will replenish the reserves.
So if
the reserves ended up being too high because of under expenditures, then you would actually see a credit on that back to the parties, and we would retain the reserves according to the levels in the policy. And understanding what we're saying, nobody was talking about any specific case.
No, we weren't.
In general, do we have a litigation reserve? The answer is no, and none is recommended.
Any more questions or comments?
No, I'd move that we approve the cash reserve policy as modified by the other pools by removing section 4.17.9.
I'll second that.
Any question, comments, concerns? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The reinstated judgment.
The restated judgment is the action and request of the court is in your document. It basically would be going back to the court with the document that we did as an advisory document and turned it into the official copy of the judgment. And this is taking all of the amendments that have happened since 1978 to present and putting it all into one official copy. The appropriate pool approved moving forward with it. It's been fully vetted with a lot of attorneys. A non-agricultural pool asked that we hold this for a month so they could continue to review and work with Mr. Harima so their counsel fully understood it and they could then take a position on it. Since they have asked for a continuance, it's likely that staff will not take this to the advisory committee next week, but rather in a month. If your counsel would like to have that same opportunity, you could simply continue it for a month, or you could go ahead and authorize moving forward, and we would still offer the ability to counsel.
I'll ask her for a recommendation in a moment. I did call Dan McKinney. I was surprised that I haven't had correspondent or a phone call from him, and let's just say he said things were quiet. So he said, let me get back to you, and he did go to the website. And after reviewing the website and what was approved earlier, he said it should be made clear to your board members what we're voting on. And with that in mind, I called Tracy and said, Tracy, do you have a recommendation for us to consider today on how we move forward with it? And by the way, Dan will be happy to meet and talk with you anytime. It's your pleasure.
By the chair's leave, and I apologize for my cold. My voice is a little bit odd. So I would direct the members of the pool and the chair to the page 163 in the packet, which is the transcript from the judge at the actual hearing. The judge at line 25, which is at the bottom, specifically asks that the restated judgment will be confirmed as the operative judgment from this point forward. And that's what began his discussion with Michael Fife. If you flip the page over to page 164 and you start at line 16, or rather 17, Michael Fife responds that the way that the motion was framed was the receive and file, which you all know better than I do, that is a different process for as it moves through the pools. Michael Fife goes on to say that because it was represented that it would be a reference document, that it maybe perhaps it had a different layer of review. Keeping that in mind, bearing that in mind in my review of the transcript, and also with the understanding that I am not the counsel that was hired to deal with the restated judgment, I would recommend that we also follow the non-ag pool's lead and defer for a month. It seems like we have plenty of time if you're not filing until June. And my last question would be for counsel, which is that it cuts off at the end of page 165. It says the court requested a stipulation, but there's nothing further on the transcript. And what we have is a motion. Did he go on to agree to a motion, or maybe perhaps you could go back to the transcript?
I can find out for you. I don't know off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
I'll just ask a couple questions then.
Please, Jennifer.
So I don't disagree with what Trace is recommending. I think the issue is just whether the document that is before us today to have the court file as the current and official judgment is the same one that was agreed upon by us previously and by our counsel, Mr. McKinney. And in that situation, if it is fine with Mr. McKinney and it is something everybody had agreed to, then I just you know, all this pool needs to understand is that the old document is no longer the judgment, and this document is now the judgment for, you know, governing the basin. And that's really what it just boils down to.
But has it been touched up? In my conversation, Jennifer, with Dan, he says, I don't know. Right. Well, that's not acceptable.
Then I, so then I looked at it, and it seemed appropriate, but I'm not the one who's gone through it line by line to just double check. So
he felt bad, and Jeff, you might remember, I asked Scott at two previous meetings, and one, in fact, in closed door, and he said everything's going forward. I didn't quite understand what that meant, but now we're asking for an official position for the judge, and Tracy, I agree with her recommendation that, along with the non-ag pool, that we hold off for a month. Ken, would that cause you injury?
No, sir.
I'd like to make one more comment. I think that prior to, during this month's period of time, that you request from Dan that he review it and verify that it is the same document that we passed on our receive and file, and that, yes, in fact, we are replacing essentially the original judgment with the new judgment, and the new judgment is, identical to the previous one. Just the typos and everything is cleared up.
What's the pleasure of the board?
I'll move to table for 1 month.
Second.
Any questions or comment? Hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Thank you, Tracy. Uh-huh. Old business, our favorite.
I do have one. I'd like to request that we move our time from 2:00 to 1:30.
Any particular time? Is this right. Is this getting into the cocktail hour?
No, it's that hour. You just waste it.
How can he get to a Angel game at 5:00?
Pretty soon we're gonna be.
That's the real question.
Now we got it.
And if you knew his seats,
and staff certainly would have no objection to that. It's the pleasure of the board.
Okay, I move that we change our
on one qualification time.
I made a motion
from suit to 1:30.
Go ahead and finish your comment.
My qualification is that someday you invite me to join you.
I think we could go around the table on this one, and he'll have at least a month of invites. Is there support?
Yeah, I support.
I mean, come on. He's our.
I support. Although I there is some value to be later in the day because the meetings won't drag on for 3, 4, and 5 hours because we start running in sunlight. But if the chairman promises to keep moving us at a punctual rate, I will.
You think you're going to get that out of the chairman?
I don't think so.
Traffic driving, how does that work for council?
Oh, it's perfect.
Jennifer?
I'm fine.
Hearing no objection, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Boy, that is a great motion. All right,
I do have another question.
Oh, no.
our guy that dammed up our water and everything, we got a judgment against him. Are we still getting paid for that?
Is that Hanson Dam?
Hanson Dam. I believe we've gotten paid in full by them, haven't we, Joe?
Come on, Joe. This is your big time.
It was $111,000. It's done. We received it in July of 2011.
Is it in the bank?
Of course it is.
It's probably spent already.
Does that cover, Glenn?
That's it.
Thank you, Joe.
You're
welcome. Tracy Egoscue.
I have closed session only.
Closed session only.
Thank you.
Engineering report. Andy Malone.
Good afternoon. My report is on the Chino Creek wellfield extensometer. That Watermaster is just about to begin construction on. Wanted to provide you not only with the progress update, but continue to remind you of why we're doing this, what are the requirements for doing this, and where and how are we doing it. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time looking at some graphics.
Is this the Kimball well?
This is down on Kimball.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. So we're all on the same page.
Yeah. This is a map of the southern part of Chino Basin, Prado Basin down here. This is the city of Chino in this region here. This area in purple is where Chino Basin Water Master has its current subsidence management plan. This area down here is where the existing desalter well field is in the white dots, and the blue dots here represent the new Chino Creek desalter wells that are almost all completed. The geology in this area where subsidence has occurred is very similar to the geology over in here where this new pumping is going to be going on. There's deep pumping that goes on at these four existing wells, and these six new wells will be pumping from the shallow aquifer system. So there is clearly a threat for subsidence to occur here from the pumping that's going to be occurring and is currently occurring in this area. The Piece 2 CEQA document, the SEIR, had monitoring and mitigation requirements related to subsidence monitoring, and the extensometer was one of those requirements. So that's why we're doing this.
Is that the only reason you're doing it?
Because of the threat of subsidence?
Yes.
Yes.
You realize, of course, that this well site is going to be very close to the plume coming from the Chino Airport. Does it have multiple uses or not really?
Yes. The reason why it's being installed is because of subsidence. But there can, in the initial well development here, we can take samples and test it for water quality. It will not be a water quality testing well on a go-forward basis once the extensometers are in there because they're very sensitive equipment. We're not going to want to put anything down the well. They won't have pumps.
No, but it could be used.
They could be used, yes. It's also in an area where we are trying to demonstrate hydraulic control. We will be measuring water levels with transducers in these wells, so it will be able to be used as a hydraulic control monitoring well in addition to being a subsidence monitoring facility. This is the location of it here, along Kimball Avenue here and Euclid Avenue here. I switched up the colors on you here with the existing wells, but these are the existing deep wells in blue, so-called bypass wells that pump from the deep aquifer system. These are three of the new Chino Creek desalter wells that will be pumping from the shallow aquifer system, and that's going to be the location on county property of the extensometer facility. This is what it will look like at depth. This is about 600 feet deep. We have two wells within one borehole. This deep well will be measuring water levels in the deep aquifer system. This is in the shallow aquifer system. There will be an extensometer installed in each one of these wells to measure compaction of the sediments. We'll be able to subtract this record from this record to understand what's going on in the deep system alone. So that's generally how it'll work. It'll be providing the decision grade information that the CDA would need to have in order to mitigate if the need to mitigate arises, whether or not they have to modify their deep pumping or their shallow pumping in order to mitigate the subsidence. So it provides that level of information. That's what it'll look like. This is a prototype facility that's located at Ayala Park in the city of Chino. It'll be underground, and it'll look very much like this. This is a conductor casing with two wells and extensometers installed in each one of these wells. Giving you a progress update, there were a number of agreements that needed to be executed in order to have this go forward. One, again, we're on county property, and we have a lease agreement that Watermaster approved last month. The County Board of Supervisors is scheduled to approve it at the end of this month. We have the CEQA document that's going in front of the IUA board towards the end of this month for that approval. And then there's an agreement, a reimbursement agreement between CDA and Chino Basin Watermaster, because CDA is going to execute a change order with the driller that's drilling the CDA wells right now. We're piggybacking on that contract having them move over and drill this well. So that agreement's been executed too, and money is changing hands right now. So that's my update.
Andy, what is the life term of this well and its purpose and use over years?
The county's lease agreement is a 10-year lease with 2 5-year renewals. We would anticipate that this well could be in existence for 30, 50 years, however long it's needed. There may come a point in time, though, where enough data has been collected and the pumping has been consistent over time and is expected to be consistent over time, and there might not be the long-term need for this facility after enough data has been collected and we're certain of how water levels are going to stay down in this area.
Questions of Andy?
Yeah, I have a question.
Glenn.
On the new wells along Kimball, when you start them up, won't that dry up the wells across the street?
When you start these wells up, there will be water level drawdown.
So has there been anything done to make sure those people have water if their wells go dry?
What are you saying? Are we going to have a water
Is there a monitoring and mitigation plan for the existing wells?
Correct.
And yes, there is.
Yeah. It was part of the original agreement.
There's
to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just, there's, if it's city water, then to water a lot of cows, they don't want to pay for city water rates to water those cows. Like right across the street where there's a heifer ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And if his well goes down, which it went down before when they started up the older wells, and then came back up some.
But there is a plan in force that will deal with that problem if it happens.
Oh, it'll happen.
It's with the CDA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's a separate issue.
That plan agreement is with the Chino Desaltier Authority, who owns and operates the wells.
They're
well aware of the issues. They've started other wells in other areas, and there's a mitigation and monitoring.
Okay. Now, can I ask a question on Euclid, where you have the older wells, Desaltier wells? And you said one of them is, or they pump from a lower depth, right?
Yes, they do.
Okay. And I thought that water was supposed to be cleaner. But the middle well pumps up contaminated water, correct?
Yeah. When you say cleaner, there are a number of different constituents. And so
less pollutants of chemical pollutants. That's what I use.
Yeah. Yeah, the organics.
Yeah.
Yes. There are some lower levels of organics in the deeper aquifer as well.
I thought they were only in the upper one. Okay, thank you.
At one time, Director Vandenhuvel ran out of water. I'll never forget that day.
I did too. Two wells went dry.
Yeah.
But I threatened to sue and get the well shut down, so I got water the next day.
Any questions?
Yeah, I
got water the next day too.
Andy,
the plan worked.
A quick question.
Sure.
These extensometers are not going to have to be. They won't run for the time the longevity of the actual well field. Then you may be able to shorten up because of data over time that you're receiving, project or extrapolate that data and not have to, run for 50 years the monitoring for this system.
I think that's a possibility, and the way that might play out is that there's a land subsidence committee here at Watermaster that will be reviewing this data annually. And so the decision or the recommendation to change the monitoring program, not only this, but other parts of the subsidence monitoring program, comes from that committee after reviewing the data.
Yeah.
So there's the potential for that. Right now, it's not really being discussed.
Are these systems reusable? Or is this a one-time shot?
Well, the well could stay there.
The well, the
forever.
Casing and the... that's there, but the extensometers, can they be removed and reused somewhere else?
Yes, they can.
Yeah. Okay.
Who is the official ownership of that well?
The Chino Basin Watermaster would officially own the equipment. they're paying for the equipment.
Yeah. One more question, Andy. Could you bring up the slide that shows the well itself? There. I've had the pleasure of being inside of one of those. And since Nathan and I have had a lot of experience in this area with what we call, from storms, royal flushes, mm-hmm. where water would come from possibly Ontario and other landscapes above, is that well protected from an inflow of water into the tomb?
We'll do our best, and we try to set we say it's flush at ground surface, but we try to set it a little bit higher so that any water that does pond around it doesn't go in.
So the answer is it could happen.
It could happen, yes. And in other places like in Ayala Park where we have these vaults, if we notice that is happening, that we go out there before a storm and we put sandbags and tarps down to protect it as best we can.
See, it's during some of our storms in our tenure, Nathan, we did have wells casings that we were concerned where floodwaters from above were going into those well casings.
Yeah, does the water still sheet across Kimball?
Yes.
Into that property?
I just hope
there's a detention basin. Adjacent to this that takes waters off the airport. This is up on the top for the berm.
Okay. Any questions of Andy? Yes, Jeff.
If I could respond to Jeff Pearson, I don't really think we could feel comfortable. I mean, all the cost is in building it. They're pretty, you know, I don't know what the price tag is, but it's several $100,000?
Yes.
Monitoring the data is not very expensive. You get it. And I think while we always think we know, you never know what you don't know. And since it's already there, I think it'd be prudent to, as long as we got a desalter that's pumping in a coordinated fashion, that's a good monitoring point. And I have to commend the Desalter Authority for recognizing it and putting it up before anything happened so they can have a good baseline of data and knowledge. But I don't think we should ever close our eyes as long as we're pumping water. So we're probably going to be pumping water into perpetuity. So I think we probably need to be monitoring it.
Yeah. No, I thoroughly agree with that. I was surprised that there could be a, even a concept of removal, but now as long as you need to identify whether or not you need to pump shallow or deep, as soon as there's subsidence triggered somewhere, then you need something to, you need the system to be able to tell you that it's happening. And I agree, that's as long as you're pumping along, that Chino Creek well field, you probably need this in perpetuity.
What's strange is that really our only agreement with the county is for 20 years. This will be giving us data 50 years from now, 75 years from now. On the other hand, what's the county going to do with it? It's underneath the runway, and we'll just quit paying them.
Sure. Well, seriously, Glenn did have a good question, very good question, because for some reason, that area on Kimball has caused us great harm over the years. So is this well and technology in the right place? You bet it is. Because we've had nothing but trouble in this area, not knowing how. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I do think it's important, to realize that when the first desalter wells went in that neighborhood, we were milking you know, thousands of cows on that street, and there was intensive farming going on using well water in that area. The dairies no longer are greatly diminished. There's one dairy left on the street where at that time there were 8 or 9. And a lot of the farming that's being done is being done with reclaimed water and not pulling water off of the out of the ground. So there's a lot less agricultural demand existing, and so we're creating urban demand, the desalter demand, but we don't have the same. I think we're, you know, good question by Glenn, and we need, and there is a, you know, we've vetted that many times through the ag pool, the standby plan, and there's been a tremendous outreach. You know, that Pepper Ranch owner has been contacted. I know personally Curtis Paxton, who manages the desalter authority, has sat down with Art Marquez, who runs the Pepper Ranch, explain what he's doing. So, you know, there's been a lot of outreach that's gone to the individual potentially impacted parties in this area. So the knowledge level is good. There's a backup plan in place. So all those prudent steps have been taken. Legitimate concern, but I think we can feel that we've done as best of the job as we can in preparing for it.
Thank you, Jeff. Andy, in last question, maybe at least for me. The adjoining neighbor contiguous to the well, Xavier Apicecci, was very cooperative and very helpful, even though we didn't need him.
Yeah.
And it would have cost you a lot more.
Yeah.
So we did well. But is he going to be affected in any way with the development of his property? Is he going to be harmed in any way?
Not by this facility. Yeah. This facility.
Because it is on county land.
Mm-hmm.
And it's You'll have road access.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have to go through his property.
Right.
Okay. I think that's important because that's who we represent. Okay, let's, Andy?
One question on the subsidence. If you detect subsidence, can you stop it and then the ground will come back up?
Yeah. There is a subsidence is somewhat complex, but there is a component. You described it as going down and coming back up.
Yeah.
Elastic. And so there
yeah,
is...
Kind of like a
sponge, yeah. But what we're trying to detect here is not only that type of subsidence, but any permanent subsidence that would occur, and we're trying to avoid that
subsidence. Permanent subsidence comes when you keep pumping, and then that so-called sponge dries up, and it won't come back up.
It won't come back up, yeah.
Is that correct?
Even though water levels come back up, it won't come back up.
Oh, okay.
Up.
All right.
So we're trying to avoid that type of subsidence.
Well, then you just stop pumping at Andy, that point, don't you?
Yeah. Andy, well done. Staff, Ken.
I have a couple orders to report, sir. The first is we're still moving forward with the recharge master plan work to update the recharge master plan. The next meeting is next Thursday following the advisory committee. So we welcome all review and input. We've had a good amount of input to date, and we expect to have quite a bit of information available at that meeting on the not only recharge needs but also some capabilities. So I would encourage anybody from this pool who is interested and wants to be involved in the recharge element to attend that particular meeting. We've had a lot of data sorting out in the previous meetings. It is now time when we will start reviewing storage issues. There's a whole host of policies we'll need to be developing at the appropriative pool today. They also recognized that we needed to start working on the storage issue, so we're going to start a process similar to the recharge master plan update to flush out storage issues and start seeing if we can make some recommendations to bring forward through the process. Both of these reviews will come through the pools, the advisory committee, and the board.
Ken, what's the timeline on the storage?
The timeline on the recharges court is in June.
Right.
Storage issues, we more or less have to the end of the year. The second item is investment policy. As we worked with the group on the cash reserve, which we just went over, one of the member agencies' finance officer went to some length to explain how, because we now will have a policy that returns excess cash back to the other agencies, really the only impact of Watermaster holding those reserves to the other agencies is if we earn a different amount on our investments than they do. And right now, our investment policy really only allows, we only use one investment, and it's extremely conservative, and they were suggesting there may be, we should look at that policy and determine if there's one or two other investment options that are extremely secure that might match our earnings to those of the agencies whose dollars we're holding. So we will be taking a quick look at that and bring it forward if there's a recommendation to add anything to the current investment policy of Watermaster. Item number three is on records and documents. We've noticed, and particularly on Fridays, we have a lot of information on the website. We get calls, and staff as much as possible tries to direct inquiries right to the website and the FDP so that you can get information quickly. We continue to do that. That's not what I'm talking about. But we oftentimes get people who phone up and they want us to go start researching for things in archives. It's very difficult for us to know what they want and to get the right thing, and we end up in arguments of whether we got them the right thing because they called and maybe talked to our receptionist on a day without talking to one of the other staff. So I was looking for a way to make that work more efficiently for everybody, and I found that Watermaster already had adopted a policy and procedure on record and documents, and we weren't following it. So we are now going to follow the policy that Watermaster has already put in place, and that involves a simple one-page form when you want us to do that type of research for documents. We have put that on the website. It's very easy to fill out, and this way we will have certainty on what the information is you want, and we can get it and respond more quickly. So look for that. And then the final item I had is just an update on search for CEO. The board gave us direction at their last meeting, and part of that included working with the chairs of the pools, the chairman of the board and myself, and putting a very thorough process together so we do the right thing. Part of that is looking for someone to assist us in doing that. So I have, as late as the end of the day yesterday, received a number of proposals. I'll be working through those and talking to the boards. And if you have a minute after today, I'd like to share that with you like I did the other board chairs. And I'd like to move forward to the board with recommendations, perhaps as early as this month. I think the process is going to take a while. Most of the people I talked to were a little shy on the front end, which is defining the needs and defining the position and identifying the skills. And I think we'd like to have a goal where we can have a start date sometime around September at the latest. My recommendation is, in order to do that, it's going to cost a little bit that's not in our budget. And I'd like your direction to move forward at the advisory committee and board next week and the following week to authorize them to appropriate $32,000, so I just have enough for the absolute maximum cost. Out of the unanticipated revenue that we got from Metropolitan Water District, so there's no impact to anybody's assessments, that will give us the opportunity to go straight to the board and discuss with the board the options for moving forward. It's their position, and they need to make the final call and be comfortable with the final process. And I would like to be able to bring them recommendations as quickly as possible. So if you can give us that direction, you'll see that small budget adjustment at the advisory committee next week.
Members of the board, Ken has been on the phone with me and has been very transparent through this whole process. He's got a big responsibility in bringing to the personnel committee as well as the various boards the right people that could lead this organization into the future. So, Ken, I want to thank you for that. At the same token, being as conservative as I might be from time to time, this is not going to be an easy process. I think in my tenure, I've been through it twice, and it hasn't been all that comfortable. So Ken has put a request in front of us today for a maximum budget, not what's going to be spent, but what could be spent. And that's now's the time for questions or comments before I ask for your pleasure in this matter.
Mr. Chairman, should we request this to be agendized at this time for a decision? Or is this something that the pool consensus will allow the executive officer to move it forward to the advisory committee for approval?
Probably the latter, just to respond to you. I know that the personnel committee meeting will be scheduled soon, as you shared with me. And in order to move forward, it can be agendized, and we can take it up again next month. But the people are pushing to move a little quicker than that. So let's take comments from the board at this time. Rob?
Just because the microphone, I couldn't hear all that well. Did I hear 32,000 is what the top end?
And change, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think we can do it without being agendized.
Well, I think Mr. Jeske explained that this is not going to require changes to the budget because it's being taken from some, as I understood, surplus revenues, and so we're not making a budgetary change here. Is that correct?
Well, we will be making a budget appropriation through the advisory committee and board. Of course, the selection and the final process is a board action that will not come back through the pools. The other two pools merely directed me to bring it to the advisory committee and board for the budget action. This body is a recommending body on that.
Director Vandenheuvel or Holford, do you have any comments on this?
Yeah, I think what Ken is asking us to do is to defer this to the advisory committee. If you got a problem with it, then say so, but otherwise you'd like to defer it in the interest of time. Just have it dealt with at the advisory committee, and obviously the ag pool has representatives at the ag pool at the advisory committee can vote. But if we, the consensus of the board and the parties seems to be that we would like some assistance in this, and what Mr. Jeske's outlining is that assistance will have a price tag.
Thank you, Jeff. Do you concur,
yeah.
Paul?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think this is consistent with our old business, our previous direction, and I think we as a pool directed you to make these decisions, and I would suggest that you advise the executive officer to, without any, you know, objection by the pool, to bring it to advisory for vote.
Thank you. Is that any objections? Hearing none, we'll move on. Ken?
Thank you.
Now you have two things to meet with me about after the meeting.
I have two things to meet with you about. Look forward to finding my replacement. last time we got enough time to have a glass of milk during lunch. So, Paul, I'm looking forward to having that glass of wine after this.
Is this considered planned obsolescence?
I love it.
We're going to call for an adjournment into a closed session, but I think it's appropriate, again, for me to report to the board that just in this short period of time, it's a pleasure to work with you, Ken, and let's keep moving forward. It's refreshing.
Just one thing?
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about the fact that the dispute between the non-ag pool and the appropriative pool still exists. But I didn't hear, you know, kind of a formal discussion just to advise everybody what that is. It appears that that's set for an oral argument before the Court of Appeal April 4th. Not everyone's as geeky as I am, but if anyone was curious about it, that's apparently when it's going to go forward, unless I'm wrong about that.
I don't have any. That's
on the court's website. So,
yeah.
Okay.
The word geeky going to be in the minutes?
Sherry's very good about accurately recording everything. So,
with that, if We have no questions from the audience. We're going to go into...
Don't you
want to
do this one?
Oh, Jeff.
No, I'm just saying you've got information. You've got full member and other business.
We're not even going to consider that today.
Okay.
All right.
I already made my comment. So did Glenn.
We got a 1:30 meeting time slot, you know. Pool member comments. Come on. Nathan, nope. Rob, once around the table. Pete, nope. Jennifer, John, Glenn.
No, not now.
Jeff.
I just was going to say we're doing so well when I was in charge of this meeting, and since you took it over, you allowed Glenn and Jennifer and no comments.
We met 2 minutes over Rob's time slot.
Jeff has to be out of here at 3 o'clock.
Well, then you're not staying for closed session. Good luck. We'll report to you what we decided. No, good.
We're ready to go for closed session?
Yes.
That's sort of like...
Jennifer, you'll have to frame the minutes. Oh, look at her. She's doing
it. Here.
It's freezing. It's at 67.
I mean, I left the snow and it's
warm
up there.
Is that forger?
No, no.
I don't know how to fix it. I'm going to go off.
How many of those do you have?
I don't know.
I'm going to go use
them. Well, that one's
wrecked. Where are you taking them from?
Where are you getting those from?
It is freezing in here.
$1,000 or $1 million?